This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
God's ministry on the earth is to bring life. He conquered death. He was raised to life so that we all may have life. Today after church service, there are some who are being baptized, and I really want to encourage you again as usual. We will be at the Old Harbor. And if you can make it, please support us, as this is a powerful witness. And not just to the town, but to heaven and hell, that God is still alive and He brings forth life. That's what makes baptism so powerful. But we've been looking at our inheritance in Christ, this inheritance that gives us great hope and great joy. And we saw that part of our inheritance is eternal life, and this eternal life that brings us great hope and great joy is not just life for one day, life after death. Eternal life starts the moment we are born again, because in Christ is life. John 17, verse 3, we read, "And this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And we can know Him now. We also talked about heaven, the destination where we will spend eternity, our inheritance, our final destination, the city of gold, the perfect environment where the city and the streets are made of gold and God has prepared a mansion for us. But even there we saw that our greatest inheritance is not the mansion, but God Himself, that we can be with Him. We read here in Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." And we see that our greatest inheritance, again, is God. In the center of our inheritance, it is always God Himself. And it's in this context that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. And this is where I want to start this morning, in Ephesians 1 from verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." If God is the center of all things, it makes sense that Paul prays for the church that He will grant us wisdom, understanding, revelation, that we may know Him more. "That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe." Three things: hope, inheritance, and power. And I want to share today about this exceeding greatness of His power. May God grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding in the hope of our calling, the glory of the riches of our inheritance, but also the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. May He grant us wisdom, revelation, and understanding in these things. So God, we pray this morning, Lord, that You will grant us to see, to know, and to experience everything that You have for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the Apostle Paul prays for this wisdom and understanding and revelation, not just in the hope of His calling, not just in the glory of the riches of His inheritance, but also what is this exceeding greatness of His power towards us that believe. What is this power? What is this power that Paul so longs for us to understand and to live in? What we have in Christ is not only hope, It's not only inheritance, it's also power. The Greek word for this word power is dynamos. It's used 120 times in the New Testament, and the English word dynamite is derived from this word. Great power. So what is this exceeding great power towards us who believe? Ephesians continue to say, I'll read again from verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of this power towards us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. This word, according to the working of His mighty power, in Greek literally means the same measure as, or in the exact degree of. And so Paul speaks of this great power that is at work in us is the same power, the same degree of power that raised Christ from the dead that now is in us. And he say, may God grant you wisdom, revelation, and understanding of this great power in you. The NIV translates it more correctly in saying that the power is the same as the mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly realms. So what is this exceedingly great power towards us who believe? It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in us. Paul is praying that we will not just understand our hope and our inheritance, but the Holy Spirit that is within us. In Romans 8 verse 11 we read, but if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see, the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. It's the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is ruach, wind or breath. It is that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same breath, that same power of God that lives in you. We read how that same breath just now, how powerful was that word as an introduction? The same breath that made that valley of dead bones come alive. That same breath, ruach, that same power lives in you and me for a purpose. Paul prays, may God grant us wisdom and revelation and understanding of this in us. Again, a part of our inheritance, it's not just future tense, it is for now. The Holy Spirit is within us. He is the down payment. God has given us His Spirit. And as we are getting near to Pentecost Sunday, there is an aspect of the Holy Spirit that I want to share with you, and that is the empowerment of God through His Spirit. It is empowering us. It is empowering us with the same measure of power, of strength that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. He has empowered us to live. He has empowered us to live differently. He has empowered us to live godly lives. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That what was dead in sin, He made alive in Christ so that we can live for Him. Not in our own strength, but in His strength. But that empowerment to live, that empowerment to live differently, that empowerment to live a godly life is through the Holy Spirit. That's the context of Romans 6, 7, and 8. God empowered us to overcome sin through His Holy Spirit that is within us. That what was dead in the sin and trespasses, He made alive through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read us Romans 6 as we're going to baptize again today. But as I read it, I want you to learn to listen carefully to our victory over sin that is linked to the power of the resurrection that is in us. And so we read here from Romans 6, from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And so today we are also going to baptize. But do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with him. We shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, that you may know this exceedingly great power in you, which is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, now lives in you. Therefore, my most favorite English word in the Bible, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also. Because the same power that raised him from the dead now lives within you, that you will no longer be slaves to sin, but alive to God. But you need to reckon it. You need to understand it. You need to believe it to be able to live it. To live to God. That is why Paul continues in Romans 8 verse 11. He says, but if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, where does that power live? In you. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That power is in you, so that if you follow it, if you allow it to lead you, he will give life to your mortal bodies and raise you to life, to new life. The Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies to live a holy life, to live a godly life. 2 Peter 1 from verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may partake in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. if you may just have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding what is this great power, exceeding power towards us who believe. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead can give life to your mortal bodies, that you can have everything that you need to live a godly life. Not in your own strength, but in His strength. You see, we cannot live holy, and be godly in this world without Him. We need His salvation, His forgiveness, His redemption, but His power in us to make us and keep us in Him. The Holy Spirit that He has given us is everything that we need for a godly life through the knowledge of Him. Such a powerful phrase, through the knowledge of Him. He has given you everything that you need for a godly life through the knowledge of Him. Therefore, Paul prays, may God grant you the more we know Him, the more His power transforms us. And this is the key. This is the key of the gospel. It is a relationship with Jesus. It's not just a faith in Him. It's a relationship with Him that empowers us to live the way He desires us to live. The more I know Him, the more I am empowered by His Holy Spirit to become like Him and to participate in this divine nature. Because He changes us. The more I know Him, the more I am free. Free from what? We sing it so boldly that we are free. You know what we're free from? We are free from the power of sin. So that now we can live a godly life. Because once we were trapped, the summary of the gospel, the message that Paul received when on the road of Damascus, is that you will preach the gospel and you will turn Jews and Gentiles from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. The power of God enables us to live godly lives. It's the gospel. And the good news of it, it's not you, it's Him in you that does the work. But it is in a relationship with Him. It's the only place. It's in that relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians says it, and I've mentioned it often, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory into the same image, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, it's the Spirit of God that transforms Him. The more we see Jesus, the more we know Him, the more we have a relationship with Him, the closer we grow in knowing Him, the more He changes us to become like Him. And therefore, the key of life and this exceeding powerful life is in Christ, in a relationship with Him. Godliness flows from a relationship with God. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are struggling with sin, there's good news. The first step is to repent. Repentance is a powerful word. Repentance means not just turning 180 degrees from sin, but it means bowing your knee before God as King. Say, God, I am a sinner. I do not deserve your grace and your mercy, but God, today I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you as King. That's what repentance is. I used to live my own life the way I wanted to. For myself. But now I bow my knee to you as King. I give you my life. That's where salvation begins. I surrender my life to you as King. You are my King. And it's in that repentance, in that acknowledging God as King, that I stand to my feet and I now follow you. Not my desires, yours. Not my will, yours. You are King of my life. It's in that place that that we are born again. It's not here where I am in control. Yes, I acknowledge you, but I am still in control. No. It's not where we get saved. That's not where we get saved from the power of sin. We get saved when we bow our knee to God as King. And say, you are my King. I'm going to follow you. That's where the power of God comes and transforms us and sets us free from the power of sin. Romans 8, I'll read it again. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the Son of God. You see, when you bow your knee to God, you not just acknowledge Him as King, you follow Him. And you no longer lead your life. You are led in this life. You are led by the King, wherever He goes. You see, those are the sons of God. And so this life in Christ begins with a surrender and then a relationship with Him. But before He is your friend, He is your King. He cannot be your friend unless He's your King. You must first make Him King before He becomes your friend. You see, we cannot have Jesus here in this world as our friend. He says, no, here you're still an enemy. But when you make me King, I don't call you a servant, I call you a friend. But first you must make me King. And it's when you do that His power comes in us and transforms us to become more like Him. That is the secret. And all of a sudden here, you see, your freedom of sin is not found in religion. Your freedom of sin is found in a relationship with God. And this relationship is first and foremost as God as King. Then He becomes my Father. Then He becomes my friend. But not until He's King first. Then the power of God comes and transforms us to become more like Him. And He will not only forgive your sins. This is the powerful thing of the gospel. This is the good thing. The good news, He will not just forgive your sins, He will empower you to overcome your sins. That's the good news of the gospel, not just the forgiveness of sin, but the victory over sin. Because the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, will give life to your mortal body, that will enable you to live a godly life that will glorify God. And that life is found in Christ. The more you know Him, the more you grow in Him, the more His power transforms you, that you become more like Him. That's why He says you will know them by their fruit. It is this relationship with God as King that His power through His Holy Spirit comes and changes you and me. And then all of a sudden the purpose of it comes clear, that we live for God and not for ourselves anymore. As Christ was raised to new life to live for God, likewise you also live your life for Him. Live your life for Him. want to ask the ushers to hand out for us communion. As we consider our relationship with God, as we consider our salvation, are we living our lives for ourselves, or are we living our lives for Him? It is when we live our lives for Him that He empowers us to do so. It is when we live our lives for ourselves that we struggle. But there's something that happens when we cross that divine. There's something powerful. You see, the aim of salvation is not me. The aim of salvation is not what I can benefit. The aim of salvation is God. Is that I can have access to Him, that I can serve Him. But what we have made is we've reduced it to what I can benefit from my relationship with God. Instead of putting Him first, I fear sometimes we still put ourselves first and our salvation and the cost that was paid for our lives to what we can benefit from it. And that's never been the intent of it. It is in this relationship with Him first that all the blessings of God follows. And I reap a life for Him. But Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me, you will gain it. You see, salvation, my overcoming sin is not the aim of salvation. It's a byproduct. It's a byproduct. My hope, my joy, my peace is not the aim of salvation. It is a byproduct. As I am in a relationship with Him, I overcome sin. As I am in a relationship with Him, I have joy, I have peace, I have hope. All these things are byproducts. But the ultimate aim of salvation is God. It's you. It's His love for me and my love for Him. That's it. The rest are all byproducts. It's when God is first and foremost in our life and our relationship with Him grows. I have found in my own life that the hope, the joy, the peace becomes consistent in my life. It's when my relationship with Him grows that my peace and my joy and my faith grows. My ability to overcome and live a godly life grows. But it's first and foremost in Him. He must be preeminent. He must be King. He must be God. He must be everything. And the more He becomes that, the more I am changed, the more His hope, His peace, and His joy fills me. But it's not outside of Him. It's in Him. It's not found in religion. It's not found in works. It's only found in Him. And the more I grow in Him, the easier it becomes because He empowers me to be who He is. I want to encourage you this morning that you may search the Scriptures, that you may spend time with God, not for your benefit, but to know Him. It's in knowing Him that you'll have all these benefits. But I want to encourage us as we share in communion and wait for one another, that we take this opportunity to reflect on our relationship with God. Oh, I was so challenged reading Acts again, and you come across the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit, and you read from time to time, and Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, Paul, full of the Holy Spirit. And I realized, God, how full am I of Your Spirit? And why, if I can have the fullness, do I not always walk in it? Is it perhaps because I'm not pursuing You with everything? Are there other things that becomes more important? Are there other things that distract me? Why are you not always the most important thing when you've given me everything? So I want to encourage you this morning to take a moment and just reflect and make God first again in your life. If you want to overcome sin, if you want joy, if you want hope, if you want peace, those things are wonderful to have, but they are only found in Him when He is first. When you pursue Him and the more you know Him, these things come naturally. If you're struggling with sin, stop fighting it. Pursue God. Bow your knee to Him and follow Him, and He will empower you to overcome it. If you lack peace, if your joy fails you, stop trying to find it in your circumstances as well. Find it in God. Pursue God. The more you do, the more you know Him, the more He will fill you with His power, the more you will be filled with His love, His joy, His hope, His peace. And it will not fail. It will not fade you, but it's found in Him. So let us take this moment and let us just come before God in our own hearts, and let us just reflect on our own relationship with Him and ask Him. No, let us decide to make Him first again. Most important thing. Let's just bow our heads. Let's spend some time with Him. God, we want to thank You. Today again, Lord, we want to bow our knee. First, in gratitude for Your grace and Your mercy over us. We want to bow our knee, Lord, to say thank You for saving us, for redeeming us, for giving us life. When we did not deserve it, God, we want to thank You. God, but we want to bow our knees, Lord, not just to thank You, Lord, but to acknowledge You as King in our lives, Lord. You are God Almighty. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Lord, and we want to give You our lives, Lord, in response to Your great love for us. God, I pray that we will surrender our lives afresh and new, Lord, that we will make You first. Our relationship with You, our knowing of You, God, that we will wake up every day first longing for You. That we will make time to spend with You, that we may grow in our knowledge, our relationship, our experience of You. That we may grow with the longing and a desire, Lord, to hear from You, not from man. Lord, that we will come every day with an expectation when we open Your Word, that You will speak to us, that You will teach us by Your Spirit, that You yourself will give us revelation, that You yourself will give us wisdom and understanding. Oh God, that these times with You will become the most precious thing in our lives. Oh Lord, that we may hear Your Spirit as You lead us, that we will be bold to follow You. Thank You, God, that this life that You promised is in You. Oh God, I pray that we will continue to find it only in You. I'm reminded of Galatians 2 verse 20, and I'm going to end off with this scripture that says, it reflects a man that has embraced God and His sacrifice but more than that, his life, his person, his whole being. Where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God, I want to thank you that it is in you that we have fullness of life. You say, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. If you're hungry, come and eat. I will give you rest. Father, I pray that our hearts will respond to you and you alone. And every morning we will remind ourselves that life is now for you. That we'll start it with you, in you, and because of you. God, I thank you that you will empower us to live the rest of our days in and through you. And we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you that that is the reason why you came to earth. That is the price that you paid so that we may have life. It was your body that was broken for us. You died so that we may have life. Lord, we thank you for this as we eat together. In Jesus' name. It was your blood, not ours, it was yours, that was spilled for us. You finished the work on the cross. You finished it so that the requirements of the law can be fulfilled in you, so that we don't need to work for it anymore. We can have it in you. So by your Spirit, you write your law in our hearts and our minds. By your Spirit, you transform us. You raise us to new life as you were raised to new life so that we can live the life that you live. God, I pray that you'll grant us to live this life in you. God, thank you that your sacrifice is enough. It is finished. It's in you, your strength, that we live now. Lord, I pray that we'll do so every day. Let's drink together. I want to ask the band, if you're here, if we can maybe end off with that song. All I want is to be with you forever. Our greatest inheritance. And that's not just for one day. It is for now. All I want to be is to be with you. I want to know you more. The cry of my heart, I want to know you more. The byproduct of that relationship is hope. It's joy. It's peace. It's strength. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this as a testimony. And as we do, if you are here today, and you want to surrender your life to God, you want to bow your knee as king to Him, I'm going to be here. Please come forward and I will pray with you that this may be sealed in your life. And if you're still struggling with sin in your life, if you've not been baptized yet, that's how you speak death over this bondage. That's how you speak to this old man. That's how you crucify him, is you speak it through baptism. It's a powerful act. I want to invite you, whether you plan to or not, if you've given your life, if you've bowed your knee, well, take the plunge. Seal it. We're going to baptize after this. It's 11 o'clock, half past. Half past, we'll be at the Old Harbor. We always bring extra towels. What prevents you? If you believe, if you surrender to God as King, nothing prevents you. Be like the Ethiopian on the chariot. Get off and get in the water. That's what we do today. You have an opportunity. Don't wait for that. Amen. But if you want to surrender your life, we're going to sing, and as we do, I want you to come forward and we want to pray with you. Otherwise, we see you hopefully at 11:30 at the Old Harbor as we celebrate another life that turns to God 100%, so that they may reap the reward, the life, the blessing, the power of that. In Jesus' name, let's sing.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.